In addition to being the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, today is also the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. And I would like to speak to you today about her holy name. When we look upon an image of our Blessed Lady, we naturally think about what the image represents, which is our Blessed Lady herself. And this is why we place flowers in front of Our Lady's statue, as well as light candles and say prayers, not because we worship the statue, as the Protestants accuse us of, but because we venerate what the statue represents, namely Our Blessed Lady. We would also say, however, that the statue itself is sacred. Not because it is a statue, but because it is a representation of a sacred person. Thus, it would be a terrible sin of sacrilege if a statue were in any way desecrated, not because of its material nature, not because it's marble or wood or anything else, but because of what it represents. So if someone were to take a statue of Our Lady and throw it on the ground or break it up, that would be a terrible sacrilege because it would be an offense against Our Blessed Lady herself and ultimately against God. Thus, there is a certain sacredness of the image itself. Images are thus venerated for their sacredness. And from time to time in the history of the Church, God has associated miracles with certain images. The result being that the faithful will go to great lengths to venerate the image itself because of the special sacredness and power of intercession and protection that the image has with God. Because God has blessed it so. Famous examples of this are the image of Our Lady of Perpetual Health, the Infant of Prague, Our Lady of Good Counsel, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and these are only a few. Saint Alphonsus had a great devotion to the image of Our Lady of Perpetual Health. And it is for this reason that the devotion to her and to this image is so popular in the Catholic Church. There is nothing that reminds us more, however, of our Lord or of Our Lady than the pronouncing of their sacred names. A word is merely a sound, just like a statue is merely marble or wood. But it is a sound that evokes a mental image of something. This mental image is a representation, in turn, of a reality. Thus, to say a word is to speak about the reality. If I say cat or dog, I am speaking about the reality of that thing. Therefore, when I say the word Jesus, I am not merely making an empty sound, but I am bringing forth in my mind, and in the mind of those who hear me, the reality of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, that is, God made man, our Lord Jesus Christ. We, therefore, therefore, the word Jesus is most sacred, more sacred than any image of Christ, for it is the most vivid image. We therefore have the pious custom of bowing our head at the name of Jesus, which all Catholics should do, and which I notice young people don't do, which they ought to do. It was always the custom to bow your head at the name of Jesus, no matter when it would be pronounced. Why? Because of the reality which it so clearly represents in the minds of those around us. Because the name of a sacred person is itself sacred, we are commanded by God to have the utmost reverence for the holy name. In sacred scripture, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And in the psalm, it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how admirable is thy name in the whole earth." And again in the psalm it says, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is worthy of praise." And again, "For thou hast magnified all."
And Our Lady herself said in the Magnificat, which you see on the walls of this chapel, "And holy is his name, et sanctum nomen eius." Not only does sacred scripture attest to the holiness of the name of God, but also exhorts us to call upon his name in time of distress and temptation, in time of threat and danger. It says that the name of God should be the object of our trust and of our gratitude. We furthermore read that the holy name of Jesus is a name which carries with it tremendous power. Look in sacred scripture. Many people were healed and raised from the dead in the name of Jesus. The devil, in Peter, says that there is salvation in no other name. And St. John says that we may have life in his name. And St. Paul says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And the reason why sacred scripture exhorts us to such a reverence for the name of God, and exhorts us to invoke his holy name, and testifies to the power of his holy name, is that the name of God stands for and summons God himself. The holy name of Mary, therefore, paints a picture in our minds better than any statue or icon ever could of the most beautiful creature of God, not only from the point of view of her creation, but also, and more importantly, from view of her elevation to grace. The beauty of Mary's soul, by which she is called the house of gold, the tower of ivory, the tabernacle of the Most High. This beauty of her soul is a cause of joy to us. And we would thrill to see, just as we would thrill to see the beauty of a great and to be filled with joy over the praise of God and the beauty which the cathedral represents, so are we filled with joy when we pronounce the name of Mary and gaze interiorly upon the beauty of this house of God, the house that God built for himself. Imagine a most beautiful cathedral, one which is immense, bigger than St. Peter's Basilica, a beautiful cathedral, magnificent with its stained glass windows, and every day, all day, 24 hours a day, the praise of God going on with magnificent hymns and beautiful music, and where there is no sin inside, all sparkling, all is perfect. This is the soul of the Mother of God, and just that such a place would give us joy to be in and to go to. So, by merely saying the name of Mary, we are given this interior joy because we again visit the beauty of the house God built, the house of gold. Or as we would gasp to see a sacred chalice encrusted jewels, so we gaze upon the decorated soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary with awe and pleasure. And this is the sight of Mary gave Saint Bernadette an ecstasy. An ecstasy of joy. And the more that we are to her, the better the view that we have of this sacred palace of God, the more the joy takes hold of our souls. And this is why we say in the litany that our Blessed Lady is the cause of our joy. And this joy is ours merely for the pronouncing of her name with devotion. Something that we can do even when we are in the saddest moment of depression, or when we are afflicted by great misfortunes, or if we are reduced to extreme poverty, or even in pain and the breathlessness of our deathbeds, we can say the name of Mary. The holy name of Mary transports us from this life of sin and degradation, from this flesh pot of impurity, from this sewer of blasphemy and godlessness, to the courts of heaven, to the house of God, to that garden of sweetness and innocence, which is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Saint Anthony of Padua said, "The name of Mary is joy to the heart, honey to the lips, music to the ears." And Saint Bernardine of Siena said, "By this name, the heart is purified, the mind is illumined, the soul is inflamed, the breast is soothed, the taste is sweetened, and affection is beautified." The holy name of Mary, however, is not merely a cause of interior joy, but is also a powerful tool of intercession. After the holy name of God Himself, including that of Jesus, the name of Mary is the most powerful means that we have of overcoming the obstacles to our eternal salvation. This is so for the simple and yet profound reason that the Mother of God retains the most efficacious power of intercession before the divine throne. She is the Mother of God. When we also consider the treasury of divine grace that has been granted to her by God for distribution to the human race, for she is the mediatrix of all graces, according to the teaching of the Church, and that she has the commission from God to be the mother of all mankind, for our Lord said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." All mankind, of saints and of sinners alike, when we understand that, we understand why the invocation of the holy name of Mary is such a powerful weapon against those who would harm us, the devil, in time of temptation, as well as the most sure manner of obtaining favors which we ask from God. Thus Saint Germanus of Constantinople said, "By repulsing and putting to flight the perverse enemy, when he attacks thy servants, and this simply through the invocation of thy name, thou dost preserve them intact and secure. Saint Albert the Great said that if we are attacked by temptations of impurity, we can obtain relief by invoking the holy name of Mary. And Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said, O you, whoever you are, who are tossed on this stormy ocean, raise your eyes to this star if you would escape shipwreck. When the adverse winds of temptation blow amid shoals, tribulation, pride, ambition, slander, raise your eyes to Mary. Have her name ever on your lips and in your heart to obtain her protection. Imitate the example of her virtue. Walking in her steps, you cannot err. Praying to her, you are sure to obtain your petition. Thinking of her, you will not fail. If Mary supports you, you shall not fail. If she guides you, you shall reach your heavenly country. The holy name of Mary, therefore, should be perpetually with us in life and in death. If you are tempted, call upon Mary. If you are sorrowful, call upon Mary. If you are joyful, give gratitude to Mary. If you are in the state of grace, delight in Mary. If you are in the state of sin, cry out to Mary. If you are impure, look at the purity of Mary. And if you are dying, say the name of Mary, for when she, your mother, is devoutly invoked, she will, by the indefectible love of a mother, obtain the grace of eternal life for her child who is in the throes of temporal death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.